forget the pattern, right? I just want you to know I think about you a lot. I know this past winter you had a group here from York come here and sing, and many of my students that I had were in the group, and I asked them, the ones that I knew that were here, I said, how was it? What was it like? They said, oh, it was great. It was, people really showed care, compassion, and they said that being here was one of the highlights of their tour. And Dr. Rausch, he had nothing but good things to say about being here, and he'd been here several times before. And it just fills my heart when you can connect two worlds together and people that you care about and love together. And it was heart-wrenching. Is, you know, they call it bittersweet, right? We know what bittersweet's like, things that are good, but then things that are hard. And that's life. Life can often be bittersweet. And the hard part in that bittersweetness is what kind of a theme that's been going through the service already, from the prayers, the songs, the comments, is there's a lot of brokenness in the world. And when we read scripture, oftentimes it's nice to be able to see people that look like me, act like me, think like me, until I read a little farther and they think like me, act like me in ways that I'd rather not be. But that's the beauty of the mercy and love of God. What we're going to look at in Habakkuk, we're going to see a complaint, we're going to see a response. We're going to see a complaint, we're going to see a response, and then we're going to see a response. And Habakkuk is a lot like me. He looks at the world, and if you look at the very beginning of Habakkuk, he complains. There's times I complain. I look at the world and I think about the sickness that is going on. I have an aunt right now who is had some falls. She was had to move out of her home. She was living with my cousin. Now she can't live with her cousin because of her, my cousin and her husband can't care for her, so she's in a care facility. She's losing some of her cognition, not able to think clearly, and whenever my cousin goes to visit her, my aunt gets angry with her because she wants to get out of this place. She wants to be with my cousin, and I understand the pain of watching that because we have a lot of loved ones who have gone through difficult things where they've lost the essence of their selves. And we cry out and we ask why. We say, God, you're a holy God. God, you're a good God. God, you're a powerful God. How is it that you allow these things to go on in a world that you created so that we could have relationship with you, so that you could bless us, so that we could glorify you? Why is it that the world is the way it is? It shouldn't be this way. And Habakkuk says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? Does Habakkuk sound like you as he sounds like me? But you don't listen. What's it like when we're trying to communicate with someone and they just don't listen? They don't want to hear, they don't want to know, and we feel invisible. It's heartbreaking. Because we want to be known. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want someone to know that we exist. And how heart-wrenching it is when we're crying out to the God who created us and we think that he doesn't listen or he doesn't care. When I'm like Habakkuk, I feel like a ship tossed in the sea. I feel like Job with the waters flowing over my head. I feel like I'm sinking into the dark abyss. I cry out to you, God, violence. Do we see violence in our world? Do we see violence in the city? Do we see violence in our neighborhoods? Do we even see violence sometimes in our relationships, sometimes at work, sometimes, unfortunately, at homes? I cry out to you, violence, but you don't save. That's your job, God. Why do you make us look at injustice? Why do I have to live in a world where things aren't fair, where things aren't right, where the law doesn't matter to many people anymore, and where the unjust seem to get the good things, and the just, the ones who are trying to do the right thing, get the bad end of the stick? Why do you tolerate wrong, God? Destruction, violence. It's all before me. There's strife, there's conflict, it's everywhere. The law, it's paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so the just injustice is perverted. Sound like today? It's nothing new, is it? It's something that's been going on in our world for a long time. And when we think of Habakkuk's plea, his cry, we understand how his heart is wrenching, because our heart is wrenched too. Well, I have to hear God's response to Habakkuk's complaint. Because God's response to Habakkuk is his response to me. And he says, I've got something to tell you. You think I don't hear. You think I don't see. You don't think I'm in control. He says, let me tell you something. I see it all. I hear it all. I know it all. But I'm not going to control it all. And then we can say, why? Because who wants to be in a relationship where the loved one is controlled by the lover? I want you to come to me because you desire me, not because you're forced to be with me. I give you the freedom to choose the relationship you want. I try to show you how much I love you, but will you love me back? Will you love my way or your way? Will you want a relationship with me or only want a relationship with yourself? Choosing your way over my way, which you think is better because you think you're so wise, you're just like your father and mother, Adam and Eve. I gave them a choice to seek life, seek wisdom through me, or to seek wisdom their way. And that serpent in the garden convinced them that their way was better than my way. That adversary that is always against God's people, that adversary that knows that a Father in heaven who loves us so deeply, the only way he can really hurt our Father is by hurting us, because we know what it's like when those that we care about are hurting, our heart breaks. From heaven, God's heart breaks as he sees us make choices that causes us to walk away from his blessing, because we think what we're walking towards is actually better for us, but in the long run, it's worse. And I think I'm so wise. I think I know better. I know what I need for my life. I know what's going to make me happy. Who knows better than me? Well, I imagine my parents got a lot of that when I was a kid, too. And their response is probably like God's response. You think you know, you think you see, you think you got it all figured out, boy. And I was called that often. Boy, do you know? Will you listen, boy? And I had to have a position in my relationship with my parents where I trusted they loved me more than I believed they wanted to control me. God does not want to control us. He wants to love us and bless us. But will we respond to his love with blessing? Will we respond to his love with submission, that even though I think I know, I really don't, but they do, and God does. God sees. In Psalm 94, one of the things God says about the people is, there's no one that seeks me because they think they got it all figured out. The person says, God does not see. God does not hear. It doesn't matter what I do. We become wise in our own eyes. We become like Cain. We become a beast in the world where we're, when things don't go our way, we look at the one we think is the cause of it, like a brother Abel, and say, well, you're getting blessed and I'm not getting it, so I need to kill you so I can get your blessing. We see that attitude often happens within us when we're not trusting God, but we're trusting in ourselves. We become more like the beast than we become like the image of that God has created us to be. And the Bible Project has oftentimes, if you listen to some of the videos, the podcasts and things, they're always talking about this idea of what are we going to follow? What are we going to lead? What's going to lead us? Are we going to become more like the God that we are to image, or are we going to become more like that serpent that is beastly? Are we going to take the way of Cain? Or are we going to take the way of Christ? Are we going to seek to serve ourselves, or are we going to seek to serve others? And God responds to Habakkuk, and he goes, oh, you want to know what I think? He says, I'm going to do something, and you will be amazed. And I would imagine at first Habakkuk's going, great, finally, you're going to take this evil that's in the world. And we have to remember, Habakkuk's not talking about the nations. He's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about God's people that are allowing their selfishness to become beastly and look more like the world than more than the image of God. And God says, I'm going to let the Babylonians come in and handle this. You don't think I'm acting? He says, you know what I've been doing this whole time? I've been keeping the Babylonians away from you. And I've let you be in peace, but look what happens to a people, my people, who are living in peace. They start looking more like the Babylonians than they look like me. So, since they want to be like the Babylonians, I'll just let it happen. I will remove my hand. I will pull back my outstretched arm. And I will let the world do to you what the world does when I'm not there. And Habakkuk complains. Well, yeah. What do you mean? You're going to use these evil people to come and punish the more righteous? So what's Habakkuk's perspective about his relationship and his place in the world? Well, I'm better than those people. And isn't it interesting? We can always look at those who are worse than us and say, well, I guess I'm okay. But then I have to stop and look at the beast in me. Because there's times when I'm selfish. There's times when I just want it my way. There's times when I think I know better. And I look less like my image maker. And I look more like the world. And it seems okay. It seems right. Everybody else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? One of the things God says in Psalm 14 is, you know, no one's really thankful. Do you realize, Habakkuk, the only reason you're complaining to me is because things are going bad in your life? Jeff, when do you do that? When is the only time you're reaching out to God and crying out to God when things go wrong rather than praising God when things are going right? God says, I don't want that kind of relationship with you, that all you are looking to me for is a handout. I want to be in a relationship with you where I demonstrate my love for you and you are in awe of being loved by me, knowing you don't deserve it. And you live in thankful response to my love by being loving. Because we know what Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all sin and fallen short of the glory of God, who shouldn't be looked at as the unrighteous. But because of the mercy, the love of God he has for us, he wants to turn the tables. He wants to take the things that are broken, and make them right in us, in me, for the sake of the world, for the sake of our eternity. And Habakkuk, how can you, again, let these people, these unrighteous, less righteous, do these things? They worship their strength. They worship their armies. They worship everything but you. Why should you allow them to just rampage over us when we're your people? The question is, are they really his people? Are they really trying to honor God? Are they really trying to image God to the world? Because Israel was supposed to be the light unto the world. The nations weren't just to come and overwhelm them. The nations were supposed to come because of the glory within them. He says, Habakkuk says, these people, they're just all self-seeking. And then I think, oh, Habakkuk, Jeff. Where are those weeds in my life that I need to pull? God's response to this, he says, write this down. I can imagine Habakkuk, he says, I'm gonna wait for God's answer. He goes, okay, I got an answer for you. Write this down. He says, but what you write down, it's not going to be good for everybody because not everybody's going to listen to what I say. Some people are going to hear what I say and they're not going to care. And then they're just going to go through life with their own wisdom. But write this down for those who want to hear. Do you want to hear? Do you want to know what God's response is to Habakkuk when he says, God, where are you? Do you want to know what God has to say to us when we look at the world and our loved ones are sick, our loved ones are dying, our loved ones are in pain, we see evil in the world? Do you want to know what God has to say for us today? He says, I see these nations. I see this world. I want you to know that they put their power in the wrong thing. Yeah, they're powerful. They're mighty. And they look like they're winning, but guess what? They will not win in the end. The things that they trust, their gods that they worship, the things that they wrap gold and silver around, they're empty pieces of wood. They're empty stone. And it will be shown for what it is. It will be useless and worthless. Just like the things that I look like and I go, oh, if I have this and possess this, I'll be somebody. I'll have something. I'll think good things about myself. And I get it, I possess it, and then all of a sudden, it's just another thing. He says, but I want you to know that they will fall. Because God is in his holy temple. God is over all. And Habakkuk, I want you to remember this. Will you trust me? Will you trust the promise? When everything around you seems to be falling apart, even your own body, will you trust that I know that I care? And Habakkuk's response to that is, God, that's amazing. Isaiah's response to the people of God who were looking a lot like the beast, like the Babylonians. In Isaiah 30, verse 20 through 22, he talks about the people with their idols. He says, throw away those idols. And he listen to what he compares them with. This is a little harsh. He says, these idols, these things that you think are so powerful that you want to run after, that you think are most important, they're like menstrual rags. And I have to ask myself, what are the things in my life that I'm pursuing that I think are really important that are like, to God, menstrual rags? So that I can not worship those things, but I can worship the God who blesses me with things that are glorious and good. Habakkuk realizes the righteous will live by faith. And he says, I remember your deeds, God. I remember all the things you did. I remember when you took Egypt down because Egypt was just like Babylon. I know when you took down Assyria because Assyrian was like the beast like Babylon. I know that you have power over these people. And even Rome, you know in Revelation, Rome is the Babylon, right? It's that beastly power that we see in this world. He says, God, I know that you have power over those things and you will act in your way. He says, but even though, if when I'm in the midst of this battle, this spiritual battle that's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, I know that you are acting. I know that you care. And when I don't see where my next meal is going to come from, I'm going to trust in you. I know that my feet are going to be on rock, that you're going to sustain me, you're going to support me. I know, God, that you exist and that you are in your holy temple. And I'm going to do my best, Lord, to image you, represent you, reflect you in this life, and not reflect the beast. And I think this is reflective in the Lord's Prayer. The Bible Project's going through the Lord's Prayer and the whole Sermon on the Mount. And we often say the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to tweak it in some ways that are important to me. Hopefully you see it also, this relevance of Father that's above it all, you are holy. Let me represent your holy name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here as it is there. And God, I know it won't be done here as it is there unless it happens in here. Help me not to wait for everybody else to image you. Help me image you today. And as your people were in the desert and you gave them bread daily, let me trust that you will sustain me daily with all your good things. Forgive my rebellion, my self-will towards you, just like I must forgive others and their self-will and their rebellion towards me. Please don't lead me into the trials. Don't lead me into the desert like you did Jesus. Deliver me from the adversary when he tempts me. And help me to trust that yours is the kingdom. Help me trust that yours is the power. Help me trust that yours is the glory today and forever, because you are in your holy temple. And your son is at your right hand because he sacrificed himself for me. Let me die to myself for you. Let's stand and give this God praise.